Hello, everyone. It is Jennifer Lamprey with the I Love My Body Diet Radio Show. We have not had a show for almost a month, so we're starting back up on Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. So thank you so much for those of you that are on. Those of you that are new, we are so grateful you're here. We actually today have one of my favorite people on the whole planet, Beth Banning. She is author of Interviewed by God, and it works with her husband, and they have created an amazing, I always get stumped on what, every time I want to call it, it is the Gibson Banning Method. It is amazing, and we are actually getting certified in that, my husband and I, and some other wonderful leaders in the I Love My Body Diet. So Beth is here, and she's going to be talking about our wants and don't wants. Really, it's one of the secrets to happiness, Beth. I think it really is one of the secrets to happiness. It truly is. So anyway, this is Beth Banning. Thank you, Beth, for being on. Thank you, everyone, for being on. Hi.
You're so great. I love you, too, Jen. I really do. And, you know, you say, you know, the difference between what you do want and what you don't want is one of the secrets to happiness. It seems so simple, but yet, here we are, you know. It's just like people hear it and they go, well, of course. But then you have to go take a look at the world, take a look at your life, and you realize that you really don't have those two things distinguished, you know? You just don't. So it's really, really fun to talk about this. And I loved your title, because Jen made that title up. I love that. Was what, don't get what you don't want, or
stop
something?
Stop getting what you don't want. Dang it.
I love it. How does that happen? How do I get all these things I don't want? So I love that. And, you know, I wanted to, can I jump right in? Because I, like, have this cute little story I want to tell everybody. Yeah? Jen?
Yes, wonderful. Are you kidding? I was blowing my nose. Put you on mute. I want to hear everything, Beth, anything and everything.
You're so cute. You know, it's so funny because we started talking, Jen and I started talking about what we were going to, you know, do today on the show. And I love just finding out kind of what's in the air. And Jennifer's got this thriving community. I don't know if everybody that is on the call knows, but really it's this wonderful community. And in community, you can really see what's happening in the world. Do you know what I mean? It's like what you guys are doing in community, it's like it's this little microcosm. You know, it's like you can see what happens on a bigger scale. So we start talking about it and we figure out, you know, what's going on in the community to see what we want to talk about today. And, you know, it was like, so why do we get things we don't want, and how do we get what we do want? One of the things I started looking at in my own life some time ago was I very often find myself not like doing things on my own. And I could just as easily ask for help. And then also many times when I could ask for what I want, I end up going without something because I'm just not asking if somebody would be willing to help me or give me what I want. So when Neil and my husband, Jennifer mentioned, hold on one second, I have to cough. You know, we started noticing this in our own lives, noticing in our clients' lives, and we started doing some investigating into why so many people hesitate or just don't ask for what they want. So one of our biggest teachers in regards to this, well, one was my son, but that's another story, but our other biggest teacher was our little dog, still is, Petra. She's this little, really cute 6-pound poodle, Jennifer knows her, and she, you know, everybody loves Petra. It's like she's amazing. But the thing we learned from her is that she never, ever hesitates to ask for what she wants. Never. So it doesn't matter if she wants to, like, get on our laps or go outside or eat or play or whatever she wants, she immediately asks for it. There's no hesitation. So first we decided, okay, so here she is, right? Why does she do this? So we decided that we needed to find out what it was that made it so easy for this little dog to ask for everything without hesitation. So why is asking so challenging for us and so easy for her? So we figured out at least two major differences, okay? So first we noticed that she never worries concerned about asking because she doesn't fear hearing the dreaded word no. She doesn't care if you say no. Most of the time, when Petra gets asking and she's excited and she wants something, she just, you know, when she hears, like, you know, sometimes we say no to her. And so what Petra does is she asks at least a couple more times. And if she finally gets no means no, she doesn't worry that, oh, my God, you know, she's bad or wrong or it's, you know, something. She just goes and tries and asks somebody else. So she never feels frustrated or upset or angry when she hears no, right? So her attention just easily turns. Can you imagine doing this like a person? It's like you ask, nothing's wrong here, right? If they say no, you just immediately turn your attention to go, okay, where else can I get this? Do you know? I mean, it's crazy, right? It's just crazy. So the second thing we learned from Petra is that she never worries about being a bother. She doesn't assume responsibility for other people's reactions. If they don't want to do what she wants them to do, no big deal. She just acts as though, and this is the key, you even might want to write this down, I think there was a book, other people's opinions are none of her business. Other people's opinions are none of her business because they're about them, they're not about her. So now, of course, and I really get this. It's like we don't think Petra, like, mulls these deep truths over in her head or anything or applies them to her life. You know,
maybe
we
she
pretty
is
much,
that dog
maybe
is
she
is. Special.
Maybe she is not. I don't know. But I'm guessing she has no opinion about this at all. But because we have opinions and we want to figure out everything, we look at her and we make things up. But nevertheless, you know, these are profound truths that we were able to see in her because she so easily lives her life, do you know? So we identified three things that prevent so many of us from asking for what we want. So, you know, so to go back to the title, why do you, you know, stop getting what you don't want. So why do you get what you don't want? Because you don't answer what you do want, you know? It's really simple. It's simple. And, you know, I'll talk about the distinction later on because in the course my husband and I do, and then Jen was telling you about the certification program, it's really distinction-based learning. It's being able to distinguish between two things. Like, oftentimes, it only looks like we have one choice, and we do. When we can't see the choices we have, we do only have one choice. But when you can separate to see the difference between two things, then all of a sudden you have two choices. So the whole course is based on distinction-based learning. And so the difference between do want and don't want is one of those distinctions that I'll talk about in just a minute. But so in relation to everything we learned from Petra, so we figured out a couple of things that really prevent us as human beings, as people, for asking for what we want. And I talked about them, but like I want to go into detail a little more. So one of them is being afraid of hearing no, right? You know, we don't realize that it's so difficult to ask because we're so afraid of hearing that word, but it is so common. You know, we're afraid of hearing no because we think it means something about us. Like, we're not good enough, we're not lovable, we're not worthy or worth it, you know, worth getting help. But if we take a lesson from that cute little poodle, we remember that other people's opinions, reactions, judgments, all of it are about them. Now, again, you know, I say it and it seems to make sense, but it doesn't feel that way. There are things going on underneath that make it not feel that way. I can't go into all those things in the show, but if even just kind of having that understanding, because consciousness, when you raise things to the level of consciousness, amazing things shift. So if you raise this idea, okay, maybe I'm not asking because I'm worried about hearing no, and if I can just remember that other people's reactions, what's happening over there, is not about me. It doesn't mean anything about me. So that then you at least have more freedom to ask. So no only means, and this is really a fun little, I almost call it a trick. It's really not, but it's the truth. But no only really means that it's time to find out what's preventing that person from saying yes. And I'm going to say this again because this is really a little tricky thing. It's like, they're only saying no because something is in the way of them preventing them from saying yes. There's something in the way. Or it's time, like Petra often does, to go ask somebody else. You don't have to. Oftentimes when we're in relationship, this happens so often in intimate relationships, we have this funny idea that everything we need to get from our spouse. Mm-hmm. And it's not true. It's not true. We'd like to. It would be fun if, but it's not true that that's where it has to come from. What you're wanting sometimes may not be what they're wanting to do right then for some reason. And open yourself to the idea that maybe you can get some of these experiences, some of these needs met elsewhere. It really opens you to a whole new level of receiving what you want. Okay, so that's the first thing. Any questions about that, Jen?
Well, I actually wanted to share, I do actually have a lot of questions that are coming up, but I don't know if I can share all of them now or on the show, but I may do it after. Yes, okay. Because some great stuff's coming up. So Marley, my 10-year-old, is, she reminds me of Petra in certain ways.
Right, kids like that.
That girl will ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. And it, this is the deal. I've identified that I'm very grateful that she has the ability to ask because of my training and my consciousness, I understand asking is a very important part of life. And that being said, what I've noticed is it doesn't stop. Meaning, so she will keep asking, and you know, as a parent, and so she will. If she's not getting it from you, she will go to her dad. You know, or she doesn't go to, if we don't give her what she wants, she will go to grandma. If grandma doesn't give her what she wants, she'll go to grandpa. I'm not kidding. She will literally go down the line of family to get what
I
she wants.
I told my son was now, exactly the same way.
Oh, he was. Well, so
exactly
this is
the
thing. There is a frustration, and there's this, I'm so grateful for it at the same time. That's what's so difficult sometimes for me is,
I totally
so happy that she does that. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh. Because then I have my other daughter who is very hesitant to ask for what she wants. So where is this, like, when you say, like, she doesn't care if people say no. But on
That's
the other
awesome.
End of that.
You are on the other end of that.
Yes, thank you. So what does that look like? Maybe that's not the time to talk about it right now, but I just wanted to throw that
I think
out
it's,
to you. That's
I
what
think
came
it's
up.
Great because it, I think it's great because it's on the other side of it, right? You're the recipient of asking, you know. And like I said, my son was exactly like this, and he was my other biggest teacher. So for me, I had to really get unattached. See, this was one of the things when he started going out and asking other people in the same persistent way that he would ask me, then I would start then worrying about other people's opinions. Do you know? And starting to worry that they're not saying no when they really mean no. And I started worrying about, you know, like being embarrassed that I started going into the old paradigm of going, oh my God, he shouldn't be asking. Do you know what I mean? In my mind. Like, he shouldn't be asking so much. Oh my God, it's, you know, it's inconsiderate. It's, you know, all these judgments and labels. It was crazy in my own mind, right? So I really had to come to terms with those other people that he was asking. I had to let them be responsible for saying no if they meant no. Now, one of the things I did learn for myself and say to them is, no's a good answer. Like, you can say no to him. It's okay. Like, just because people are afraid of saying no, too, like, especially to a kid. So that was one of the things I said to them, like my parents or strangers. He would ask strangers, Jennifer. I'm telling you, it was insane. So I would learn to say to people, No is a good answer. I wouldn't stop. I stopped myself from stopping from telling him not to ask, because just like you, it's a beautiful thing. So I would go, so how can I take care of myself here? So my and you have to figure out what your biggest concern is about her.
Well, it's funny you answered. I already have been doing exactly what you just said. I actually, no, really, because of this consciousness of knowing that asking is okay, and then seeing her as that, that's actually her gift. That's actually a thing that she has. That she's going to be, she's going to get what she wants in this life. I know
she will.
Like, there's no doubt in my mind about that girl. And so what's happened is I had to let go of all of, I actually got to work through stuff with my mom, my dad, my husband. I had an opportunity as I let go of her asking them. I actually, so what happened is my mom, like, she'll want some clothes or something. She'll go to my mom, and I've let go. If my mom wants to buy her clothes, go for it. And then they get to deal with that dynamic. And because I noticed that, so it's really powerful. I've actually, so I am okay with me saying no. I think it's, I get to deal with the frustration of what, of me not wanting to say no. I think that's what comes up for me. I don't want to say no to her. I want to give her all these things.
So here's the thing about that, Jen.
Other people get to give it to her if she wants.
Yes. But here's the thing about that, okay, that's the other piece. So Spencer would ask me over and over and over, you know, until I was done saying no. But what I learned to do with him in relation to him and I is I would check in. I would find out what it is that was preventing me from saying yes. And I would tell him very honestly. Like, you know, he wanted something that cost money. I would tell him very honestly, we have this much money. And it's not a time where I'm willing to buy that for you because this is where the money's going. I'm unwilling to do that for you now.
I love it. And actually that we have our home because Marley wanted to have a house with her own bedroom. That girl for 2 years, and she and I told her that where we were financially, I actually was honest with her. So it's so funny you're saying it really works. To actually have this conversation with people. So I don't know if that's around the do and don't want, but.
Well, it's perfect because it's both ends of the stick. Do you know what I mean? It's like, why don't we get what we want? Because we don't ask. So if we don't ask, when we have people asking us with such persistence like these kids, then it really makes us look at our own beliefs around asking. It makes us look
so
at
true.
It. You know, so I think, you know, for me, it was really one of the most profound learnings in my life, my son, really, about that. Really. So hallelujah to those kids, you know.
Hallelujah.
So that was the other,
That
was the other end of it. So it was really, really great. So here's the other part. And this really is connected, okay? So the other piece is we worry about being a bother, being selfish, being inconsiderate. These are the other pieces that really keep us, you know, because if we hear no, we believe we're all these things that we're told that we were, you know what I mean? Because this is so typical because we're taught from a very young age not to be what someone else labels selfish or inconsiderate. As a kid, how often do you hear, you know, I mean, you hear it in stores, stop bothering me. Stop bothering me. You know, you hear it, and it's like it's so prevalent. Sometimes it's like the air we breathe. You don't even see it anymore. You know, you don't even hear yourself say it sometimes. You know, even when we're conscious, it's like, oh, please stop bothering me. Not like even in a bad way. Do you know what I mean? So this is something that is so deeply ingrained in us. But the truth is, believe it or not, and this really is, you know, back to what you were saying about Marley and with Spencer is, most people, given a chance, would love to support us. And the key phrase here is, given a chance. It's like, how often do we give people a chance to contribute to us? Now, how do you know this is true? Because people, I know people out there are saying, you know, I know they don't want to do this for me. People don't want to do things. But here's how you know it's true, is how do you feel when you're able to contribute to someone else and contribute in a way that you really know supported them and helped them. How do you feel when you're able to do that? Like, how does it feel? Feels fantastic. You know, I mean, Jen, I mean, you're such a great example of one who contributes. And I know you contribute because, like, it feels so good. You know,
it
we want
to.
It feels
dang good.
It feels so wonderful. Good. Yes, as human beings, we are, believe it or not, hardwired to contribute to one another. Hardwired to contribute to one another.
Mm-hmm,
but sadly,
that.
This whole area of giving and receiving, like the natural giving and receiving that we are hardwired to do, is trained out of us at a very young age with all this labeling of you're being a bother, don't be selfish, you're inconsiderate. All that stuff trains this one of the gifts of being human is to be able to contribute to each other. And that's the giving and receiving end. The giving and receiving. You know, one can't be without the other. But that's how you know. So when you're, like, thinking about asking for something, just remember, if people are given a chance, they want to contribute to you. They want to. You know, if they, and this is the, and we're going to go right into that piece we started with. The key is to know what you want. And because what often happens and why this whole giving and receiving thing gets screwed up is because we don't particularly ask for what we want. We think we've asked for what we want. We have this vague request out there for what we want. But what happens is we're so afraid to ask for what we want that we use way too many words. We aren't clear about, like, what it is this other person could do specifically to help us so that they can decide whether they can do it or not. And this is really the difference between what we do want and what we don't want. So most of us think we're asking for what we do want, but actually we're asking for all the things we don't want to have happen again. So one of the stories we tell in the certification program we do, and I know you've heard this, but I'm going to do it for the audience, is really demonstrates this idea of do want and don't want. So there was this woman, and her husband was working all the time, all the time, all the time. He didn't get home until late at night, and she finally said to him, I just don't want you working so much. So what happened the next week? He came home at the same time. He always came home, and she goes, you know, I told you I didn't want you working so much. And he said, oh, honey, I know. Thank you so much. I joined a bowling league.
I love that
You know,
story.
She actually thought, she told him she wanted him to come home earlier. Do you get what I'm saying? It's crazy. But what she said is she didn't want him working so much. So he did that. But it's like we really think we're asking for what we do want. So pay attention when you're out there and you think you're asking, are you talking about all the things you don't want, or are you saying what you do want? It's really different. So, you know, at this point we can take questions, or I have a little challenge for everybody at the end. So we can either go straight into the challenge or we can just see what questions are there. What do you want?
See if I think it'd be great to at least have one caller if somebody has a situation that they can mention in 30 seconds or so, and just see if you can support them and maybe walk them through that a little bit. I know just
anything like that.
Beth really can clarify those things. Oh, and we had somebody. I had a feeling there'd be somebody. Be great. Hello.
Oh yes. Hi, Megan. I was thinking about getting help with housework in my home, and with my kids, it gets like, I don't know. It's like I ask, and then it's like pulling teeth.
Get
it to happen. And then it's like I feel like I'm having to ask and ask and ask until I'm like my voice is raised and my, you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I totally know what you mean.
But I think it's because I have a deep belief that I don't get support from them. But that I need to challenge, but yeah, I don't know.
Well, let's, you know, it's so funny because kids are a whole different realm because they're in, you know, oh my gosh, there's so many pieces when it comes to kids. Because, you know, a lot of what goes on is that they think they're not heard. They're in rebellion against anything you ask to do. How old are your kids?
I have a 10-year-old and a 14-year-old, and they still have no chores, really, that they have regularly to do. So I'm working on that.
They have no what?
They don't have, like, a specific chores that they have to do. It's like,
oh, yeah.
I've tried the chore charts, I've tried things, and I've never been able to really apply it. So really right now they just have to go to school and get good grades. So I'm like, I want to start teaching them to work because I know it's important.
Yeah. This is, you know, as far as what you do want and you don't want, I would pay attention to that. Are you very specific about what you're asking? Again, with kids, this is a whole different realm. There are so many distinctions in relation to, well, in relation to everybody. But are you asking specifically for what you do want, or are you saying things like, I'm so sick of having this house dirty? Do you get that's what you don't want?
Yeah.
You know. So you have to be really specific. So that's one of the things I would suggest in relation to this one distinction is, you know, when, you know, say things like, when I see you leave the table and leave your dishes on the table for me to pick up, like, I feel really frustrated. I'd like more support around the house. Would you be willing to take your dishes with you to the sink when you get up and wash them and put them away? Do you get how that's very specific?
Yes.
That's what you do want. So pay attention to what you do want. Try it, especially if, you know, you haven't had a chore routine and haven't had a conversation about these kinds of things. Pick a couple of things, get very specific about what you do want, and ask if they're willing to do it. And then, and this is key, get a yes or no answer from them. Don't take yeah as an answer. Yeah, Ma. Don't take yeah as an answer. Say, are you willing to do that next time you sit down at the table and get up and get a yes or no answer? And again, if they say no, there's something preventing them from saying yes. Now, having this whole conversation, there's a lot of distinctions to have it be, go in a really effective way, but just try that and see what happens.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, beautiful Megan, for hopping on and asking. I love that, Beth. Because, again, it's, you know, we don't realize it's happening so many. That's what I was, you know, we think we know what we want, but the reality is this is probably happening in so many different little pieces of our lives throughout the day. And just like
everywhere.
You said, to bring that to consciousness, to start doing this. I mean, I was even thinking how many people get overwhelmed when people do ask them because they may feel so overwhelmed because they don't know what they want in their life. So it may get overwhelming just to start. And then when you start feeling that overwhelm, I was thinking when I start feeling that overwhelm, I get to start identifying, okay, why am I feeling overwhelmed? Mm-hmm. And there's obviously something there for me to look at of what I'm not asking for, if maybe I'm not creating what I want in my life.
Yeah. And, you know, the other piece, when you feel overwhelmed, pay attention because the other person, and this is really funny, but it happens all the time, is the other person may not be asking clearly what they do want. And what we do, especially as women, I don't know what the heck was wired into us, but we start trying to figure out what it is they do want. And that makes us crazy. You know, because we really don't know what they want, but we try to figure it out and we try to do things and then it's not even what they want. Do you know what I mean? So when you start feeling overwhelmed, especially when you're being asked to do something, really check in and see if it's clear, like if it's clear what this other person wants, because that may be contributing to your overwhelm. Does that make
sense? Can I ask? Yes, it does, actually. And I have another question that Marla just asked over on one of the pages. She said, if a friend is asking for help and kind of dependent for their personal needs and from you, and they get angry when you actually say no, what can you do in that situation?
Well, see, this is the other people's opinions are none of our business. Really. It's knowing that. You know, and it's not like going, that anger is none of my business. But it's really getting this idea that her anger is about her. It's not about you. You know, if you heard her request and you went, you know, I just can't do that right now and take care of myself at the same time. Because, again, what's that old saying? If you're not taking care of you, you can't help anybody else. Do you know? So if you really check in and you go, I just can't do that right now, and you say no to this person and they get all upset, what there is to do, and this is a whole set of distinctions, but it's just to empathize with them. It's about them. Gosh, it's really hard when there are things you need done and there aren't, and there isn't anybody to do them. I really understand why you would feel upset like that. See, it's not about you then. It's about her. You can understand why she would feel upset when she needs something done and now there's no one to do it. It's not about you, though. Do you get that? It's not about you. It's about her. And then it's just, you know, just allowing her to have what she has about it. Because that's her stuff. That's her stuff. But we run and we feel guilty and we feel bad and all kinds of reasons for that. Yeah, right. And how much time do we take up feeling bad about other people feeling bad? You know, it's crazy. It's just crazy.
I know Marla actually wondered if she could push one. I don't know if we have time. I know you have a challenge you want to offer, but I said she could. I don't know if Marla, if you want to. Oh, you just push one. You should just push one, Carla or Marla. Carla. Yeah, baby, hold on. And it'll give me a little question mark. And I don't know if you want to do your, oh, there she is. Do you mind if, is that okay? Is she just asking my question? Okay.
Sure.
Thank you. There you go. Hi, Marla.
Hi, Marla.
You might be on mute yourself.
Sorry about, yeah, I was. Sorry about that. Hey, ladies.
No worries. Hi.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
I'm getting better, and I missed the first 5 minutes of the call, so if you talked about this, then I apologize, and you can refer me back. I hate asking for something and getting told no. Like, it hurts. It is painful. And so I'm doing better to where I can just allow it to be with that person and just know that there's another way around it. But I feel completely rejected, and if I ask for something – and they say no. And I think the reason being is I don't ask a lot. So when I do and it's no, it kind of pushes me back into I shouldn't have asked.
Yeah, I know. I totally know. So the reason, so in our workshops and our certification program, we assert that there are only ever two reasons you feel bad. Only ever two reasons. Isn't that simple, right? Okay, so here are the two reasons.
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
One is, and we call them focuses, but, you know, a lot of people call them limiting beliefs, that you have an underlying limiting belief making that no mean something about you, or you're not living in harmony with something you value. So those are the two reasons you feel uncomfortable. My guess, because you kind of already said it, is that you have this limiting belief that if you hear no, it means something about you. It means that you're unlovable, not worthy, you know, not good enough. Something like that underneath is causing you the pain. So the belief is not true. So it's a belief that you made up when you were a very little girl about something that happened that made you believe something. And again, we could probably go, we could take a minute just to kind of investigate and see what the belief is. Do you want to do that?
Sure. Yep.
Sometimes when you raise it to consciousness, again, it kind of just goes, oh my gosh, like that's what it is, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When somebody says no to you, what does that mean about you?
That they don't want me, that they don't
and if people
don't
want
me,
and if people don't want you, what does that mean about you? I am
I am
not enough for them. I'm not enough for myself.
Yeah, I'm not enough. So that's the belief.
I'm not worth it. I often feel
so
that I'm not worth
it. Let's pick one. So if you're not worth it, if you're not worth people's time and attention, what does that mean about you? I'm not.
I'm not worth it, which means probably makes me feel not worth it for me.
And if you're not worth it, if you're not worth it for anybody, what does that mean about you? I'm not. I'm going to make a couple of guesses, just because there are only a few of them that we've heard over the years, you know, with hundreds and hundreds of people. So you're not alone in this. First, I want you to know. So what it sounds like it's coming down to is I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough for people's time. I'm not good enough for people's attention. I'm not, you know, it could be I'm not lovable, you know, but I think it's kind of working its way down to something like I'm not good enough. Okay?
Yeah.
So
yeah, sure.
If you have this belief, I'm not good enough, then a no would be devastating, wouldn't it? Because it pokes at that belief.
Yeah, it proves it right to me, and I don't want it to be right.
Well, but it's not right. And see, what happens, and this is why we call it a focus, because what happens is we're looking for it everywhere. Don't prove me right. Don't prove me right. Don't prove me right. And when you're focused on this thing not being proved right, you get to see it over and over and over again, because that's what you're focused on.
I know.
It's like
universe.
This, it's this insanity, right? It's this crazy insanity.
Exactly.
So what there is to do with the limited time we have here, but the one thing you can do, okay? So when you ask for something and you hear a no, remind yourself that the feeling that you're feeling is not about the no. It's not about the no. It's not about hearing no.
Okay.
It's about that you have this belief in you that I'm not good enough. But the belief is not true. What's the earliest time you remember having this idea of I'm not good enough? Like, think back to your childhood.
School, even in kindergarten, you know, even at home, I just never felt like people got me, you know.
But definitely in
school, I didn't feel like I had any.
And I'm got it. And I'm guessing it went even further back, like you were saying, in your childhood. So here, imagine this little tiny girl, this perfect little angel, and she hears something. And we are, as human beings, we are meaning-making machines, meaning-making machines. So we have to make meaning out of things so that our world makes sense to us. And it's a wonderful thing, but what happens is because of our training, we make it mean all these really painful things. So here's this little tiny girl trying to make sense of the world, and she could have heard something like, I mean, she could have even heard, you're not worth it. And this person over there could have even meant it. But does that make it true?
No.
You know what I'm saying? No, that doesn't make it true. So then, but you took it on as truth.
Mm-hmm,
so you have to remind yourself, this tiny little baby, this angel baby, made this thing true when it's not true. So as an adult now, you get to bring that to consciousness and go, oh my gosh, God, that feels so painful. And that little girl made that true, but it's not true. It's not true. And then you get to go, so what do I want to choose to do instead of that? So how do you want to be in those situations, like when somebody says no? How do you want to be?
Just okay. Allowing them, you know, the respect that they would if they could, you know.
Right.
And for me, just to move on, either let go of the need or go elsewhere, ask somebody else, you know.
Okay, good. And if you were able to... If you were able to let go of that and just go ask somebody else, what would you be able to experience? Almost like
joy.
Freedom. Joy. Perfect.
Freedom. Yeah.
Joy. Okay, let's just hold joy and freedom. So here's what you do. The next time you hear no and you go, oh, man, that hurt. Oh, right? You go, oh, wait, let me remember. Just kind of feel the pain for a second, because that's your – the pain is your – warning bell. It's actually a gift. It allows you to stop and get conscious. So you stop,
okay.
Oh, that hurts. And you go, oh, that's that belief that sweet little girl made up. That's not true. And I want to create joy and freedom in my life. What do I want to do right now? What can I do right now to create joy and freedom? And then go do something around that.
Awesome. I definitely can do that.
Good.
I really appreciate it. Yeah.
You're welcome.
I'm very much, it's interesting to me that you talked about consciousness, because so oftentimes when I'm able to bring it to the conscious level, the work's done. Like, I don't have to do anything else. It just releases that belief. And
so often
I
that's
think it's
true.
Awesome.
Yeah. So often that's true.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Oh, you're so welcome.
You know what's interesting, Beth, if you don't mind, and I'd love for you to do your challenge. Thank you so much, Marla, for being on. I was just thinking, because Marla... she's been in the leadership team and has been really involved in I Love My Body Diet and has run groups and stuff. And so when she said, I'm not enough, it's like, I actually wrote that down, that was her focus, and it brought some clarity to me. And it actually brought this like wonderful compassion and love for Marla, like in a way of more, like really just kind of, it gave me clarity of how to support her. It's really interesting, but this is what's interesting. As I thought that, I realized that I can support her by knowing that, but at the same time, it really is always a very individual choice whether we are going to, because I can't change that she has that focus. And that's what's, it just hit me, like we can only do so much, and then it really is up to us individually to bring this to our consciousness and then allow ourselves to move through it on our own.
And you know, when we, you know, if we're all kind of, we can support each other, like,
mm-hmm.
But as long as we ask permission, you know, again, sometimes people aren't ready for this kind of support we want to give them. But if you now know this about Marla and you say to Marla, would you like me to remind you at those times where I'm sensing that this belief is hanging around, do you want me to remind you about the possibility of joy and freedom?
Oh,
if you
that.
Remember. Again, if you remember, it's not, you know,
yeah,
like, we're all in our own little world, but you know what I'm saying?
But what a powerful thing to do in leadership when you know you're over, like, say if people have, so many people have teams and these different things, what a great thing to bring into a team to understand, because all, like I said, all of a sudden it creates this communication, the barrier of communication is now you understand one another a little bit more. And now if you give one another permission, you can step into this real deep healing and movement and creation together, where you're creating what you want together.
Beautiful.
Anyway,
that's
a cool thing. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, you want to hear my challenge?
Yes.
So here it is. And we like when Neil and I went through this whole thing, we really did this, and it's amazing. So each morning, identify one thing you can ask for that day. Make sure it's something you do want. Remember the distinction, it's something you do want, and then ask. So this sounds simple, but it really isn't. It is so challenging, but it's like the best. So you're going to have to remember the things we talked about. Hearing no leaves you no worse off than you were before, just like my little dog, no worse off, right? It's just a no. And that other people's opinions are none of your business. And if you're ready to start asking and getting more of what you want, take this on for 30 days. So pick something every morning. I'm going to ask for one thing that I do want and ask for it for the next 30 days. So that's my challenge.
Oh, I love it.
It really just opens up a whole amazing world.
I love it. So perfect. Well, Beth, always, always, always a pleasure, and huge, amazing, wonderful inspirations come through. And you know, like you said, I love what you said at the beginning where I wrote it down, but this distinction, now we have more choices. Hopefully many of you that listen are listening now and are going to be listening to the recording will really know that you have more choices in your life because of this call, this show. So Beth, is there, and two, if you're wanting to know more about Beth, Beth and Neil, it's focusedattention.com, and you can hop on there and check out. They have tons of amazing articles. They have ebooks and books that they've written. They have so much amazing content and information to really support. Just on that one website, there is tons of stuff. So I recommend highly jumping on there and checking out what resonates for you. Beth, thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to share
before
we get off?
No, I think this is it. I, you know, go out and ask for what you want. You can't get it unless you ask for it. That's,
yes.
You know,
amen.
Just the truth. You can't get it unless you ask for it.
Amen right? to that. All
so
right,
fun.
Love you
always
guys.
Fun,
have a wonderful
Jen.
Day. Yes, I love having you on, Beth. And well, Beth has been coming on every 2 weeks, so definitely look for her. We'll be putting that post
in
out and let you know what the topic is. So thank you. We'll see you next Wednesday for our little surprise guest. And we will talk to you. Have a wonderful week, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Love your body. Bye.